Okay, good. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I can't believe we're at the end of the year already. I want to welcome you all to our meeting today, the last meeting of the year. But I also wanted just to say one quick thing before I turn it over to Wendy is, you know, I was going through our the charter for our advisory work group, and I just wanted to kind of do a recap of what our purpose is in communication and messaging. And as I read it, you know, I just wanted, I think it's always good for us just to review it from time to time. But our main purpose is to vet messaging of COVID-19 vaccine to the population, including identifying key audiences, effective communication activities, and messaging considerations such as risk, crisis, response, communication, messaging, and delivery. And then we also have what our expectations are supposed to be do. And we can send this out to you all, but I think it's always good for us to review what our purpose is supposed to be from time to time, and what are we supposed to be doing. So with that, I'm gonna turn it over to you.
You go right ahead. I welcome everybody. Gaylene, go ahead. Well, actually, okay, we can just proceed, I think, with our agenda and listen and hear from Sable K. Nelson on an update from all the work VDH is doing.
Great.
Good morning, wonderful people. I hope that you all are doing well the day before the last day of 2020. Just wanted to give you all a couple of brief updates in terms of what is going on with VDH and our vaccine deployment and preparation processes. One of the big pieces that I wanted to share with you all was some of the pieces related to being able to have a transparent process as it relates to how we are going to be able to showcase information. So I wanted to share to make sure that it was for everybody who's on this call to know that we do have the vaccine summary. We have a dashboard that is on the VDH website, and I'll be placing that link into the chat box shortly, and just want to make sure that you all are aware that we do have a vaccine summary dashboard, and we also have a tab that will go into demographics as well. So the demographics tab in particular, which is loading right now, it shows the number of folks who have received one dose, the number of people who have been fully vaccinated as we have not reached either the 21 or the 28 day component for folks to receive their second dose. We haven't been able to have anybody who's been fully vaccinated as of yet, but that is something that they are showing here or will be showcasing here as that data becomes available. And in terms of the demographics pieces, we have this broken down by race, broken down by gender, and broken down by age to take a look at various segments of the population. I do see Karen Brim's question about whether or not this has been tested for screen readers. It's my understanding that the Tableau assets that are on the VDH website meet the 508 compliance standards. If there are any particular challenges with screen readers, if you all could let me know or let Gaylene and Wendy know as well, so that we can communicate that to our VDH communications partners. But it's my understanding that we have taken, the Virginia Department of Health has taken steps to ensure portability and accessibility to screen readers for the data components that are in Tableau. But wanted to let you all know that this is something that the Virginia Department of Health has and is going to be updating on a regular basis as information becomes available. I do want to address that we are in the process of figuring out, as you all are probably well aware, we are in the process of vaccinating that 1A group, the healthcare professionals and individuals who reside in long-term care, those congregate care settings. And we are in the process of doing that with approximately 47,000 people who have been vaccinated so far that we have the information available for right now. But we are also simultaneously preparing to expand our rollout and to deliver and develop guidance for the future phases. So thank you to each of you all who were able to respond to the email from Stephanie last week and provide your comments. We were able to solicit comments from the Vaccine Advisory Work Group. We had about 30 or so people to submit comments as it relates to the Commonwealth of Virginia's prioritization for 1B and 1C. And the next part of my update is to let you all know that those recommendations have been collected, synthesized, and sent to the Virginia Disaster Medical Advisory Committee. I have a hard stop at 10 o'clock because I sit on that committee, and we will be discussing how to incorporate your feedback into the prioritization of 1B and 1C. And I'm looking forward to being able to report out to you all during our next call what that is going to look like in terms of how we are going to be prioritizing specific populations. And parallel and aligned with that, the other piece that I wanted to mention, which is on our agenda to discuss today, guidance is great, recommendations are great, but we also need to make sure that we are messaging this prioritization so that it could be easily understood by the intended folks who we want to ensure that they know that they are eligible to be vaccinated. So I'm looking forward to our conversation later on during our call today to get to solicit your feedback about how we best roll this out. How do we learn? How do we take some of the lessons that we've learned from the provider and long-term care facility rollout so that we can have a smoother transition with this broader segment of the population as we seek to vaccinate essential workers and individuals over 75. So with that, I will press pause and to see if there are any additional questions.
Sable K, one question. I have not seen the dashboard in the past 2 days or so, and I'm not sure if we already have there sort of a comparative way of presenting what is the Pfizer and what is the Moderna vaccine. Because, and I don't mean the scientific pieces that probably all of us have been reading tons of material, but something very simple. I can see in nurses.org that they have a very simple way of telling people that many days, that is what it happened in that particular conditions, because as we know, community start with all the misunderstandings that we can imagine and the ones we can never imagine. So that's a suggestion. If we don't have it, probably we should have a little bit of comparative analysis and very simple, very, very, very simple, that tells people, and perhaps creating messaging around that particular topic, because at community level, there are all of these stories right now about why you should or shouldn't use one of them. Thanks.
Yes, I know that there have been some conversations internally within our VDH vaccination unit partners to talk about. So I went back to the summary page here, and there have been conversations about delineating where Moderna vaccine is going, where Pfizer vaccine is going, and also explaining the rationale in terms of who's getting which vaccine and why. So it's my understanding that that's something that's under development and that, because when this was initially created, there was only one vaccine that was being distributed here in the Commonwealth. But now that we have multiple, there is a way and there have been conversations about being able to track and to be transparent in terms of where the specific types of vaccine are going. Thank you for that.
I think that's it for questions. Any more questions? Okay.
Gaylene, this is Christine. I don't know where in the conversation this should fall, but when I hear Sable talking about messaging, we've got, what, 6 vendors that are working on messaging, but every conversation we've had is something that's happening in the future. And I don't, we need those packets, those nuggets, like Dr. Vargas just said. We need those little nuggets of information to get out to the public yesterday, not, you know, sometime in the future. I don't know where in the conversation it falls. I'm actually on my way to get my own vaccine at the Peninsula Health District, so I probably won't be on the whole call. I just wanted to raise that concern that we're still hearing that the messaging's coming, but we don't have anything out.
Well, we're going to be getting an update shortly, and I know that they're working hard on trying to get something out to us, to get something out there, listening to feedback and everything. So I guess on the next agenda, we'll be hearing about what's being done. But I know that there's work being done.
Absolutely. And it probably goes into our next agenda item, and I'll stop sharing my screen so we can have the agenda go back up. But I do know that I believe we have some folks on from our communications, some of our communications partners, either from our DDH staff or from our Vance Vidal team, who would be able to give an update today in terms of what have been those communication items that are then developed, not being developed in the future, but are ready now, what's available now. Do we have folks on? I see Lori's on. Is there anybody else on from our VDH communications team for an update today?
Oh. Hi.
So Tammy is not on?
I'm not seeing Tammy on the line. I'm seeing Lori there, but I see that I'm wondering if there's some communications challenges there, but we did talk yesterday about ensuring that there was going to be somebody from our communications team who would be providing an update for us today in terms of what are the communications items that have been developed by VDH, either directly or through its contractors, its vendors, for our vaccine-related communication. So I'll ask again, is there anybody on from our communications team to provide an update?
I'm messaging, I'm texting to see if we can get someone, and in the meantime, we can move ahead if there's no one.
Okay.
This is Lori. I don't have too many updates. I mean, I know we did launch the communications hub, and I'm not sure if we've shared that link with you all. Sable, do you know if we've shared that link?
We have not.
Okay, because I can share that in the chat if people want to see that. But that's a creation that Vance Sadal did for the communicators to find a lot of the messaging, and I can share that with you all. I don't have the full update. I just know that was included in Kelly Vance's weekly report.
So is this hub, it has materials and everything on it already, or is it something that's going to have materials on it?
Yes, it has material. It has the materials on the existing campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Small A Days and the Hotspots campaigns that we've done in certain parts of the state. So I'll put that in the I'm on my phone, so it'll take me a minute to copy it and put it on the chat, but I'll get that to you guys.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just as another piece, since we don't have other members of our communications team on the line, but I do appreciate you being here, Lori, and providing that update and sharing the link sharing the link to the communications hub in the chat shortly. I'm also wanting to let everyone know, we'll have a bit of this later, but we do have some faith-based specific outreach that our BDH communications team is assisting with getting information out on. It's going to be an event featuring Dr. Fauci on January 8th. So we're encouraging the individuals who are on this call. It's my understanding that the flyer for that went out with the agenda for our meeting today. So just wanting to make sure that you all share that information widely to your networks. It is a event that is being done in collaboration with the VCU Massey Center under the direction of Dr. Robert Wynn. We are also in connection with Dr. Underwood in the Governor's Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and with the Office of Health Equity. And it's not something, even though it's framed as a conversation with health leaders, with faith leaders, we are also trying to make it as broad of an audience as possible, and we want to make sure that people, even if they aren't faith-affiliated themselves, if they are likely to be in a community where, you know, communities of faith are serving, we just want to make sure that we get as many people to participate and to hear from this great thought leader that we have in the country about infectious disease. And we are going to have a powerhouse panel. In addition to Dr. Fauci, we're going to have our state health leadership. Governor Northam is going to be on, Secretary Kerry will be on, State Health Commissioner Dr. Oliver will be on, and we'll be answering questions in real time about vaccines and the plan to deploy it here in the Commonwealth. So just thanking also in advance our communications partners for their assistance. And we had a meeting on Monday to talk about how we are going to be publicizing that event. So that was the other communications update that I wanted to share.
Table K, one question.
Table K.
One question about whatever you just mentioned. Since we have a large number of community health workers here in Northern Virginia, is that particular event going to be with simultaneous interpretation into Spanish so I can start disseminating the information?
We can, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Dave O'Kay?
Yes.
This is Susan Elmore. I have two things. Is that event going to also have the real-time transcriptioning on it so that when we pass it, okay, and then we can
it's
pass it with the link?
It's going to have captioning and ASL is my understanding.
Cool. And second, to the communications piece, I saw over the holidays the COVID-wise communications that were put out. I did not see any inclusion of people with disabilities on the COVID-wise. So I think we need to improve that part. And I know this communications team did not probably review the COVID-wise information because I think that came out before this group was formed. But FYI for you, please.
Thank you for bringing for centering that. We can certainly work on that. And you're right, they are parallel but different tracks. So we should definitely make sure that such an important population is not left out in that those messaging and those efforts there. So thank you for raising that, Dr. Elmore.
I would like to share that Tammy was held up on another call. She was on an 8 a.m. call and she has now joined us. So, Tammy Smith, are you there?
I am here. Good morning. How are you all?
Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, I'll have a short update. Just wanted to let everyone know the communications hub is up and running. As of yesterday or earlier this week, they added an image bank so that people can now, or communicators can now go there and download images that they can use to help share the message about vaccination. VDH, we met with the Department of Medical Assistance Services Chief Medical Officer and their communications person last week to discuss how DMAS could help get out messaging about vaccination, address issues like vaccine hesitancy and other misinformation. They've agreed to help share some of our social media messages, as well as to assist in any way that we think they can. We've invited them to have access to the Communications Hub materials, and we've shared some of our social media information with them, and which they are pushing out as well. In terms of an update on the Vance Siddall, I see Todd, is Todd at Fouts Inspected? I'm gonna go over some of the Vance Siddall stuff, but if it's Todd isn't at the meeting, I'll skip that.
You know, I think you're the stand-in for Todd.
Okay, all right. So Vance Siddall, a lot of shareables are on the Communications Hub, including those photographs. They are working on op-eds, which will be include one from Dr. Oliver and several others that will address various issues around vaccine hesitancy, the need for vaccination, those other issues. They are working on the video project, the question project, where they're asked to have a person, a regular person, ask a question and have a healthcare provider answer that question. They're working with Virginia Healthcare and Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association to identify the physicians and other experts that will provide the answers. They are also, well, they're assisting with the Fauci, the January the 8th Fauci event, Dr. Fauci town hall, in terms of just some of the logistical stuff. The subject matter expert panel met yesterday or Monday, anyway, reviewed some images or outreach messaging that focused on mask wearing. The vendor reported that their efforts on that use faith leaders urging mask wearing has gotten great feedback. The images that they're currently working on focus on disability community in terms of mask wearing and showing the impact of caregivers on, you know, you can be a caregiver and wear a mask and, you know, just protect yourself and protect your loved one. Today, there's a telebriefing with Christy Gray. She's gonna address media questions. That's from 11 to 12:30 today. Christy is the director of the Division of Immunization. We've gotten lots of questions about, you know, vaccine allocation. Is it going as smoothly or as quickly as we'd like it to be? And I know there's been a lot of national media coverage addressing on those topics as well. Part of our communications effort is to make our experts available just because they're considered reliable and trusted sources. So the more we can get them out in terms of messaging, it helps to dispel a lot of the misinformation that's out there. And we continue to get numerous, you know, media calls daily just on whatever the topic of the day is. But right now it's like 1B and 1C allocation and just the timeliness of how quickly vaccine is being delivered, administered. HMS, one of the partners working with Identica, which is the creative agency doing the campaign on flu normalization, flu vaccine and childhood vaccines. They held a webinar earlier this month on with communication experts, and it was focused on how to dispel misinformation, how to address misinformation. That was primarily aimed at communicators, other communicators, people in the field. There's a press release plan to go out on the January the 8th Zoom town hall. VCU is planning to issue, VCU Massey Cancer Center is planning to issue a press release, and BDH will also issue a press release with them, sort of with the same information, but since we both have a lot of different, may not have an overlap in our audiences, we want to make sure it gets to as many people as possible. That is all I have. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to share. There's also a clinician letter going out probably tomorrow. Just a COVID-19 vaccine update in Virginia. It will address the COVID variant virus has gotten a lot of press. I think they decided not to address 1B and 1C allocation. It will address COVID vaccine pregnancy, and it'll address the vaccine dashboard that went live last week. That is all I have. Thank you.
Tammy, is this hub available for use now, number one? And number two, I just went on the VDH website and I didn't see the link for it. Will it be on the VDH website?
It's primarily for use. I can ask them to put it there. It's not there now. And I think one of the issues is that some of the information up there will be possibly talking points just for internal use to help us answer media questions and some of that stuff they wouldn't necessarily want out there. But yes, it is live and I can share the link, but the focus is, the target is communications professionals or, you know, anybody else. So yeah, we do need that link on the, which page are you looking at? Are you looking at the COVID-19 vaccine page or the?
We're looking at the COVID comms hub page.
Hey Tammy, this is Lori. I shared that link in the chat with everyone before you got on the call, and I apologize. But yeah, that's the link that, you know, Kelly is sharing. This is meant to be a tool for communicators. A lot of the information is already out there on the website. This is just gathering it for the use of communicators so they don't have to look across the website to find it. We're going to hope to have on this hub an area where communicators can communicate with each other and share ideas and questions with each other. So I don't think this is something we want to publicize on the website for the use of everyone else. This is more meant as a tool for our internal communicators, and you all, you know, obviously can use it to find communications resources quickly and easily, you know, that are spread out across our website and used for social media and all of that. So that we're not, it's kind of meant to take the place of all the emails that have been shooting back and forth, so that everything is in one place, so that we can go to one place and find it without having to look back in our emails and all of that. This is not something I think we would share externally on the website for everyone to look at, just because we hope for it to have the interactive section that's not active yet. But we do want to have that where, you know, health districts can share what they've been doing in their health district with other health districts, and we can, you know, talk back and forth. And I don't think we want all of that just out there for everyone.
Okay, the link is not in the chat. If you would add it, that would be helpful. The other issue is, I certainly agree that this should not be made available to the public, because the information on here is not appropriate to the public, to the, you know, the literacy level. I have a problem with the fact that all of this has not been, we haven't had any input on this. But for example, you have a safety fact sheet that's translated into multiple languages, but it's not readable to the general public, which is feedback that I had offered. So I do think this should only be internal.
I want to add to that. I think that we need to have something like this for the general public, not this one particular. I want to caution, and maybe you could take it back to the internal team or whatever, but if the communication comes out that's offensive and we don't see it first, we're the ones that's got to, that people are going to come to. They're going to come to us. So it's always good for us to see something that goes out before it's put up public, to make sure that it falls in line with, you know, the communities that we represent. But I do believe we need to have something like this for the general public on the website, so that organizations can go to it and pull it and share or whatever, because that's what they're asking for.
This is Susan Elmore. Do you have me?
We can hear you.
Hello. Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure. Two things. One, and this goes for multiple conversations we've had on the phone today, But I think we need to also point out that people will not have the choice of whether they get Moderna, Pfizer, or any other company that is approved when they go for their vaccine. They will only, as I understand it, they will only have a choice of what that particular administrator has. So if CVS, let's say, has Moderna, all you're going to get is Moderna. So I think when we put out information, somewhere we need to put that out, that it's not a choice issue of A or B. It is whatever that particular organization has. We have, public health departments are giving out to some, CVS, Walgreens are giving out to some. So I think that's an important piece to put out there with it. And pardon me, I had a brain freeze on the second thing. I lost it in the conversation. But anyway, that's the important part to include in our communications, that issue. Oh, I know what it was. The link you're putting in the chat, would you all please send out for those of us on the phone? And Gaylin, while you're looking, look on the VDH. It may be on the comms page, but there was a section that had resources that John Q. Public could print and post in their private business, wherever, somewhere on the VDH COVID information. I just can't tell you off the top of my head. But that's where some public infographics are.
This is Karen. I just put the link to the page that Dr. Elmore is talking about. That's the VDH COVID vaccine landing page that has large icon buttons that you click to get over to resources and media. Some of the documents off the comms hub, I believe, are on that public COVID page. Am I correct on that?
This is Tammy. Yes, you're correct. A lot of the information on the comms page is also on the page accessible by the public, the COVID-19 vaccine response page.
And just FYI for this group, part of the issue is some of the tools we use in state agencies like Microsoft Teams or different areas, we can't have external partners on our SharePoint site. So that's probably why they went to the back-facing communications page. So it's just one of the things we deal with Vita and tools.
Can someone tell me where to find those infographics?
You can't find it on it either. It's not easily accessible, but it's there.
If anybody has that link, that would be great. I don't know where it is. I don't know where that information is.
Karen, did you put it up on the chat?
This is Karen. Yes, I put the link. That's the vdh.virginia.gov/COVID-19 vaccine. That's the landing page for vaccine information. And then you scroll down, there are large icons that say, I believe one says resources and one says media/news. Media/news takes you to a page that has articles, but I believe the resources tab takes you to a place where you can download the files for the flyers. Or it could be under general public, it says toolkit materials.
Yes, but they're not in there. I don't know what's in there is not infographics.
There's a development fact sheet, a safety fact sheet, vaccine flyers, and vaccine shareables. It's under.
I know, but if you look at those individual tabs, you will find that there is at the top of that, there is a CDC Foundation public health toolkit that does have infographics. None of the other things that are listed are things that I think are useful for the general public.
This is Susan. Wendy, I apologize to everybody. I may have misspoke. Infographics may not be on there because infographics are not accessible to screen readers. So, some of the ones that were early up may have been taken down for that reason. But anyway, it should be information that can be printable and put out to general public or advocacy organizations or in your faith-based communities. It's shareable.
Right, but that's not what's listed here. It says shareables. What's in there is not, does not provide information that is useful to the public regarding vaccine education right now.
And I'm thinking that this discussion that we're having is a good segue to the next two discussions, the general conversation that we want to have in terms of ensuring, like, there's such great work that our VDH communications team is doing to develop these fact sheets and all of these, like, different materials. And it seems to me that there are just some challenges in terms of helping folks to navigate the website, whether it's the communications hub or it's the COVID-19 vaccine page. Perhaps this would be a good time for us to have a conversation, to have a concentrated conversation about how we best optimize and make it easier for us to navigate and access and share the communications materials that have been developed for various segments of the population, and for us to have a conversation about how we let people know about vaccine rollout.
Okay, and that is a very good point to start. I'd like to hear from the team, since we have been talking for several weeks now. Any updates on the Spanish media campaign that I would like to learn? What do we have for the TV and radio, since we know that even we cannot navigate a website, and that's what I mentioned before, less than 20% of our population, regardless of the language, is going to go to a website for this type of information. Could somebody tell us a little bit what has been made so we can start with the TV and radio spots or somehow social media in Spanish? And somebody mentioned translation of some of the tools. I would say that let's don't invest time and energy in translating. That's a bad word when you try to communicate with the community. We need to create new messaging. And I think that we have so many consultants and contractors now that they are working on that, that if something has just been translated, just remove it from there because it just creates confusion. But if any update is there for the Spanish media, I would like to hear from that. Thank you.
Do we have any clarity from our communications partners on the line in terms of what overtures have been made for Spanish transcreation of communications material?
Hey, this is Tammy. I do know that Siddall, Vance, they're working with Identica, which had been on contract to do the messaging on vaccine normalization. They are working with Vance on some of the messaging, creating messages for that target Spanish-speaking audiences. And I know Identica has done a lot of the vaccine normalization efforts that you'll see on our Vaccinate Virginia page in Spanish. They have created a Spanish, if you click on a link on the page, if you go to vaccinatevirginia.org, if you click on that link, it'll take you to that page in Spanish. A lot of the Instagram messaging that they're doing is in multiple languages. A lot of the images are, you know, cross-cultural. And like I said, I know they're working with the Vance Agency in terms of creating more messaging. And I know they do a lot of, because a lot of people use, I think it's a WhatsApp or WhatsApp app. Anyway, they're thinking about using that, or they're already using it. I have not checked in with them in the past week or so to use that as far as messaging. And I know they do focus more. They've done work using radio because the Latino community, I believe, gets a lot of its messaging from the radio.
Tammy, what is the VDH Instagram web?
It's if you go on Instagram, it's Vaccinate Virginia. Let me see if I can pull it up.
And I'm sharing for the folks who are able to, who are joining via their computer, I am sharing the Vaccinate Virginia webpage so folks can see it there. And I'm putting the link in the chat as well.
Okay, so this is pre-COVID vaccine. Is that right?
Their focus, and the focus is on normalizing vaccination, and the focus is on flu vaccine and childhood vaccinations, just making sure children are still getting their vaccines during this period, only because that's their contract with VDH. But Kelly Vance's group has brought them on to assist with the whole COVID-19 effort as well. So you will see more coming from them dealing with COVID-19, is my understanding. I am looking at the Instagram page. Vaccinate Virginia. It's just Vaccinate Virginia if you go on Instagram.
Yeah, I found it, just Vaccinate Virginia, but it's right. It's not specific to COVID, so. Okay.
Like I said,
the original scope for Identica was for flu and childhood immunization. So that is primarily what they've been working on. But given the recent emergency use authorizations, it's my understanding that they are being extended to some COVID vaccine related messaging as well. But they were primarily procured for flu and childhood immunizations.
Do we need to change the title from Vaccinate Virginia to something else that would indicate that it's regular vaccinations versus COVID, because everybody's so focused on COVID vaccinations right now? Do you think we're having some confusion on that issue?
I don't think so, because they've been doing work. Identica was procured over the summer, and they've been doing work and have had communications outreach for flu and for childhood immunizations that were pre-even conversations about the COVID vaccine. So they are actually, this campaign was developed without the COVID vaccine in mind. And the idea was that it would be focused on those two components, childhood immunization and flu vaccinations for the fall.
That's the first time I've seen this.
So do we know, and maybe you said it and I missed it, when do we think the site will be focused on COVID, or that there will be a site like this focused on COVID?
And a part of that is what I was hoping that we would be discussing today. So I know that the next component of what we are, that's on our agenda for us to discuss today, is to talk about the 1B and 1C rollout. So you all did a fantastic job. A lot of you all had the opportunity, were given the opportunity, and many of you all shared your feedback for the sub-prioritization of the phase 1B and 1C priority populations. The Commonwealth of Virginia primarily is accepting the recommendations for the Advisory Council on Immunization Practices, and that guidance document will only be as good as our communications efforts to let people know in terms of where they are and how these tiers will impact their lives and where they are in terms of eligibility. So one of the things that I wanted to have a conversation with you all about today is how we roll that out. So once those prioritization groups are listed, how do we let people know, how do we communicate to those eligible individuals that it's their time? What is the best way? Do we need something to the point of the person who was just speaking? Do we need a site that will let people, that will share like, hey, like this is the guidance information. I'm hoping that we'll be able to hear from the great assemblage that we have on the call today and on future calls. But I really would like for us to have a concentrated conversation about how do we communicate to folks about where they are in line and how do we let folks know that they're eligible to get the vaccine.
Okay, for the Hispanic Latino community, my recommendation is TV, going to the news. if I go to the news and I say, oh, it's my turn, I'm getting vaccinated, hey, come, I'm here, you have to do it, people at least will spread the word. Websites, I would not recommend it for community participants, and maybe radio could be another way. Because as you can see, when Dr. Fauci, when some representatives are going into our mainstream media, people is listening and following the example. That is not happening in Univision or Telemundo, because they should be Spanish-speaking people telling other people, I'm doing this, you have to do this. And it's simple, because they are in need of people in their news. So I don't know, I sent some contact info, Wendy, I think last week, but my recommendation will be, let's go to the media, and going to the news is free.
This is Susan Elmore. I'd like to add in, and then I apologize, I have to jump off. I don't think we want to put out, or we want to be sensitive when we put out, that we don't tell people it's your turn to get vaccinated if we don't have the supply to do it. I know we're still in the 1A and 1B, and we've got people that haven't even, our facilities haven't even gotten their calls yet to get their 1B vaccination. So I think we need to be sensitive that when we put it out, that we have the supply, or either we're going to inundate our external partners with people coming saying they're due to get vaccinated and they don't have supply, or we're not to that stage yet.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. We know that we can't give out a certain date. But right now, I think the most important thing is education about the vaccine. I mean, vaccine building public trust. I mean, we can do that leading them up to say, it's always good to under-promise and over-deliver. So, you know, I'm telling folks now, it may not be until late spring or whatever, or even like beginning of summer. But if we get it earlier, then that means that's a win-win. But right now, getting them prepared and educating them is a good thing. But people are asking, when can I take it? You know, but what is it? You know, so I think that's something that we need to do. I think we need to do it all. We need to have the website. We need to do the media. We need to have social media. We need to have handouts. We need everything.
So I would propose, you know, I agree with what has been said. We don't want to give people false expectations.
Right.
The vaccine will not be available for several months to the public. We know that. That needs to be said. The public needs to be told that planning is in place. The public needs a campaign. Are you vaccine smart? Learn about vaccines. I mean, that's the kind of work that can be done that will help ready the public. I don't think we want to give the public false expectations, but I do feel there is an opportunity for public education.
Thanks, Wendy, for that. This is Beatrice Amberman. And, you know, I just wanted to convey to you that actually the community is hungry for information. And it seems to me that there's starting to be growing concerns over the fact that people don't know when the turn is going to be. I had a conversation last night, actually, some people that work, restaurant workers right here in Virginia Beach. Some of them are very concerned that they don't know when their turn is going to be. And actually, I received a call saying, well, you are in that committee. Can you please tell them to give us an idea, when would our turn be? Because, you know, our lives are on the line. They feel that they're working with people that unmask themselves when they come to their premises. And they basically don't know when their turn is going to be. So in having the conversation right now, I just feel, you know, I join Gaylene with the concern that, you know, we are the persons that other people know that we are on this committee, and they want to make sure that we place those concerns with the appropriate people so that they can get responses. So we need communication that can be shared in different formats. You know, the radio, definitely for the Latino community and the TV, but also information that we can share via Facebook, for instance, in an easier way. So please help us out, because I think the community, with the fact now the transmissibility is now a concern too, which this new virus, so that is evidently more communicable. So please help us out, because it seems to me that right now I'm listening that it is even for us hard to find the information and you know, put it in the hands of our community.
I spoke to, thanks Beatrice. I spoke to Attorney General Herring the other day about the scams and, you know, that's happening, the phone calls. People are starting to get phone calls, pay $75 and get a vaccine. And we don't have any information out saying that it's free, you know, on a large basis, and facts about this vaccine. And the scammers are slipping through, and they're starting to turn people around, especially people who are anxious to get this vaccine. So that's another critical point that we need to, the reason why we need to get information out there. He actually put out some guidelines, and I has sent, we have a link to his guidelines and his press release too, that we can send out to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, timeline for distribution and cautions. You know, I heard a horrifying report of someone in an elderly person in another state waiting for his vaccine, because as soon as he got his vaccine, he was gonna take off his mask and go to the store. That is exactly what we cannot do. One is not immune for many, many, but you don't have an effective immunity for 6 to 8 weeks. You cannot take off your mask. You cannot disregard the precautions. I mean, this is the kind of education, but above all, I think allaying public anxiety and letting people know that the vaccine will be free, planning is in place for distribution in the spring. People are not going to get it anytime soon, are they? Are they? I mean, if they are, we're not, you know, we don't have any realistic expectations that have been provided, I think. And I realize it's a moving target. And I realize we're walking a fine line. But this is a moment for public education.
And Wendy, even though it's a moving target, that is something that we need to let people know.
Yes, I agree.
We believe that we are doing A, B, and C. If there is a problem in a week, it's like, hey, we go back to the TV and radio and say, today this has happened. So we're going to have a delay of whatever, a month or whatever it is. So people trust whatever we say, because we are telling them what is happening in the moment that is happening. And I was looking into one of these flyers in Spanish, the development of the vaccine and so. I'm going to test it with people that I'm normally in the market and so, but I can tell you that that is for proficient people and maybe for providers. That is not for the community. If you just want to use that at the community level, Jesus Christ, talking to you about the clinical trials and so, it may be a very beautiful Spanish language flyer, but that is not for the community we try to reach. Because if the community that speaks Spanish is proficient in health literacy, they will go to a website and they will learn by themselves. So the community that is our target, that particular fact sheets are useless. Sorry to say it in that way, but I couldn't be more direct. We need real material for the below basic and intermediate health literate communities in any language.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson, because that is absolutely true. And I support what you're saying 100%.
I think we are, I would propose, I will meet with Gaylene and Sable and Sable's team. We should come up in writing with some recommendations from this group based on this feedback, based on this brainstorm session about the most immediate communications needs, so that we can kind of have some bullet points.
Yeah, easy access, definitely. Yeah, that would be, that's what's definitely is what's needed. Anybody else have anything else they want to bring up? Any ideas?
This is Connie Lovelace. I have a suggestion. I was just wondering, I know when we go to get a COVID test, you have to pick a time where you can come. And so if we had 100 vaccines and we had times where people would come, then people would have to sign up for that time to come and have that vaccine. Is that something that we can do? Like the state of Virginia, the Department of Health? I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I don't know. Planning is in place, but it's not clear to us. I mean, there are the health districts are each doing their own thing, I believe. I do think that appointments are being scheduled, but again, they're only dealing with, you know, people in the healthcare world right now. And this is an evolving situation. They're working as hard as they can to figure out how to do this efficiently. But I know that in the spring and summer, they're hoping to coordinate large vaccination events, but all of this is a work in progress. And I just think we need to be transparent about the fact that planning is in place.
I know we don't want to say we have vaccines starting from 9 to 5 and people all show up at 9 o'clock and wait in line for 4 hours, right, to get a vaccine because there's hundreds of people waiting.
If it's anything like the COVID testing, it'll be done anyway. Cause I'm telling you, they show up early anyway with that one, but it's a way that we can do it. We have about 3 minutes left and we want to be respectful of everybody's time during this holiday. So if you have additional ideas or whatever, please shoot it to Wendy or myself or Sable with that as well. And because this is all some really good ideas. So look, we need it all. We need everybody's input on this particular effort. We have some community conversations coming up, college student listening groups, updates, people with disabilities, Native American, indigenous people, faith-based outreach. And that January 8th webinar with Dr. Fauci is not only open to faith-based, it's also open to anyone else who want to attend. We want to make sure that we have our faith leaders on there. So please circulate that around. Our next meeting is going to be Friday, January the 15th at 9 o'clock. And I personally want to wish everybody a happy.
Wait, I thought it was the 8th, Kayleen. I thought we said the 8th and the 22nd. I thought we were going to go to a
bye. I'm looking at this schedule on here because I was like, okay. I thought it was earlier too.
Kayleen, yeah. Sable, correct me, please. I think that the decision was to go back to Friday mornings at 9 right. a.m. biweekly,
yes,
starting on January 8th.
Right.
I apologize for the confusion. When we look 2 weeks out, skipping next week and going to the next week, the next Friday was the 15th. So our apologies there. Because then we would be meeting next week Friday and we would only have 1 week between meetings.
Wait, next week Friday is New Year's Day.
No,
New Year's Day is tomorrow. Is this Friday?
Oh, this Friday, sorry. Okay, so we're gonna be meeting.
Don't put 2020 off to another year, please. Right.
So we're meeting
another week.
We're gonna be meeting on the 15th and the 29th and every 2 weeks, starting on the 15th. I get it, okay.
Right. Okay, great, thank you. Anybody have anything else? All right, well, Happy New Year, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. Bye-bye.